As you will see in verse 2, when we get to that, Jesus died so that we could have that eternal kiss. The study of millions of institutions or Bible schools or church services or anything else cannot develop the heart like one kiss from Jesus can do. You can study the Hebrew, the Greek. You can study the Word and memorize it. You can go to every kind of institute of higher learning, and it cannot touch what one kiss from Jesus can do in your life. I guarantee you. Thank you, Lord. Every revelation that you get or someone else gets, every sermon, every song coming from a bridal vessel, someone who's prepared to give it all, is crying out an invitation to you and to me to enter into the experience of His love firsthand. Every time you feel the presence of God, every time you hear a song, it's an invitation to come closer. See, to surrender is not losing. How many thinks that when you surrender, it means you lose? Isn't that the paradigm that all of us usually have? If I told you surrender everything right now to God, you're going to think you're losing. What a lie the devil's told us. But a kiss or the presence of God stamped on someone's life brings focus to the one that's being given the kiss. Suddenly, when you're in the presence of God, everything else fades away. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is in focus. You are so focused on that moment and what God has given you, you even forget you have a problem. Is that right?
Amen.
Once Jesus reveals Himself to you in the most personal way, all formal religious trappings that promote distance is gone. Amen?
Amen.
She will never cry, "Send Moses to the mountain, Lord. I can't take this personal stuff." Each movement that Jesus makes once you've encountered Him is now acknowledged and responded to by you in like manner. That's what He's expecting. Try to kiss your wife or your husband and have them try to do the dishes behind your back. Jesus wants and deserves your full response when He calls. When there's song service going on up here, or the Word's going forth up here, or the Spirit is falling on someone in the audience, that's Jesus giving you an invitation, and He not only desires a response, but He expects a response from you.
Amen.
When His presence dares to show up and you do not respond, you're pulling away from the intimate kiss of the Savior, and you're voting for something mundane and dull and ugly in the end. When He comes and you encounter Him as the bridegroom, suddenly you know that He's closer than a temple or a church or your theology or anything else that you built your life, your spiritual life on. Something about His presence and the kiss of His presence that leads you into spontaneity, which is why the Pentecostal church is so different than other churches. Because a lot of churches do not believe in you displaying a love affair with Jesus Christ. He transfers a zeal when He kisses us. And our zeal goes toward what His zeal is, whether it's judgment or whether it's mercy. Whatever He's feeling when He's kissing you, when He's giving you His presence, you're feeling the same thing.
Hallelujah.
You know, there's been centuries of prophets and evangelists and moves of God's and God in revivals and training in Bible schools and theologians and books written and plays read and all this to try to explain something that can't be explained.
Yeah.
It has to be encountered. It has to be experienced.
Hallelujah.
By you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
This causes us to be spontaneous with the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And out there with it. Not embarrassed, not hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
But getting right out there and saying, "I love you, Lord. Lord, I just love you. I appreciate you so much." You're not afraid to show your relationship with Him once you've really encountered Him.
Yes.
It's the truth.
Thank you, Lord.
But centuries of prophets and laws and sacrifices and traveling in the wilderness could not do. One kiss from the bridegroom will do. It'll change everything. It'll make your theology fall to the ground real quick. It'll make your religious trappings fall to the ground real quick. From that point on, all advances by the bridegroom were welcomed by you. Why? Because it's been a life-changing thing for you. Let's not forget the kiss of the father to the prodigal son. How many knows that story, the prodigal son?
Yeah.
Does everyone know the son took all that he had, that the father gave him, and went out and spent it, ended up in a pig pen? But what happened when the son came back? His father kissed him. What happened at that moment? Everything he had ever done was gone. Every disobedience, every disrespect, everything he'd ever done to forfeit what he should have had by inheritance, God restored it at the moment he was kissed.
Amen.
Do you understand how powerful that is?
Hallelujah.
That everything you've ever done, Jesus Christ, if you will make your road to the forgiveness of his arms, he will restore it with one kiss, one encounter. 1 minute of his presence will restore it all. Oh, that's exciting. If that's not exciting to you, you've never really been forgiven. I believe that the song from the lover to the lover is what's going to bring back the passion of God and bring a revival like the world has never seen. It's going to come through the love relationship between the bride and the bridegroom.
Hallelujah.
It's going to come
Hallelujah.
Through keeping the purification process in our own lives to keep it going and to keep it holy. Keep ourselves Hallelujah. Always before the Lord. Hallelujah. Already we are witnessing a significant increase of new songs being written with bridal themes that extol the beauty of Jesus as seen in the Song of Songs. It is the longest and most intense song in the entire Bible. It is in a dense, concentrated form of revelation. That means it's tightly packed with revelation. It's only 8 chapters to unveil the mystery of all the ages.
Hallelujah.
How does he do it in 8 chapters? It's concentrated. It's full of revelation. The Song of Solomon, interestingly enough, is right smack dab in the middle of the Bible. It is the meat between the bread.
Yeah.
Man?
Hallelujah.
At one large conference, a man of God spoke that God is going to reveal the Song of Solomon to the church before he returns. The general purpose of this book is to fully capture people's hearts by the greatest prophetic song ever. It is a view of the passionate affection in Jesus' personality and the beauty he sees in the heart of a faithful bride. The principles taught here are to help us grow in the first and greatest commandment. What is that commandment? Good students. These truths are found throughout Scripture, but no place are they as concentrated and focused as here. Certain aspects of our heart can only be touched through divine poetic romance. We are created in such a way that the divine poetic romantic language of love touches a deep part of our makeup that other aspects of God's truth do not touch in the same way. I don't even know if I should get into the kisses. It's powerful and it's power-packed. But the first thing the bride does, there's 3 main characters in the Song of Solomon: the bridegroom, the bride, and the daughters of Jerusalem. The daughters of Jerusalem are people, in my opinion, who are watching this relationship between the bride and the bridegroom, and they're watching it develop. They're watching this person come into alignment with the will of God and power surging through their life. And they're interested enough to ask about it and to watch it, but they're not yet interested enough to follow. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't say who. And so these 3 things are always talking back and forth. One of the first things that is stated, just as a statement, is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. Solomon means Prince of Peace. This song, only a song can touch the emotion like that. A song penetrates, goes beyond the intellect. God's not interested in your intellect. He's not interested in how much you know. He wants you to experience Him, because He knows 1 second of experience will trump all the knowledge you'll ever have.
Amen. Yeah.
Try to tell a baby not to touch something hot, but let him touch it once. You don't have to say it again.
Amen.
1 second of experience with the bridegroom will spoil you and ruin you for life. You'll never be good for anything else. I promise you. You'll never be good for anything else the rest of your life. Everything else will be subordinate to it. Everything else will be less than it. It is powerful that the first thing the bride asked after the statement that it is the song of all songs, which means it's the greatest of any song that was ever sung. There was never a song sung like the song sung from Jesus on Calvary, hanging on that cross. He spread out His arm and He said, I love you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And that song is the greatest song that will ever be sung over you. God will never sing another song greater than that song. He sung from the cross, I love you, and I'm proving it to you, and I'm making a way so you can come in to that Holy of Holies. And I leave the door open. He distributed this word through a song because He wanted to reach who you really are. And who you really are is not your intellect, people. Who you really are is what your spirit man is. That's who you really are. Because on the day that this old flesh dies, that spirit man is going to stand before the judge of all the earth. And he knows, see, all these things that He said they had to do, and that's just an inkling of it if you read in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. My goodness, there are so many laws and rules, it's crazy. But He's trying to say, I'm trying to get to your morality, your nature, your character. I'm trying to hone you in so that you can come before Me as a beautiful bride, so that we can interconnect and relate to one another. Amen. And not have something like your intellect in the way. Who has something that's beyond what you think or have ever thought you learned.
Amen.
This is greater, deeper, and it's the prize of everyone that decides to pursue Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your bridegroom, your all in all. It goes beyond your understanding and it touches the heart as a song would, and it says, this is what I want from you.
Yeah,
I want your love.
Hallelujah.
I want your devotion, and I want it to be extravagant.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want it to be extravagant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Not, oh, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. I want a heart that's flowing with grateful attitude toward Me because of what I've done. I want a heart that loves Me above everything else that this earth could ever touch them with. The Song of Songs, sung by Jesus on the cross, which is Solomon's. The minute she gets a picture of Him on that cross, the minute she gets a picture of that love that allowed its life to be taken, the Bible said, Emmanuel. When it was prophesied in Isaiah about Jesus to come, He was Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus the God-man. Jesus the God-man stood between heaven and earth and made a way for you. God came down because you can't go to Him in your state of being. He came down to you. He died on a cross so that you could have a way into that tabernacle, into that Holy of Holies, and He expects love in return. Amen?
Amen.
He expects respect and holiness in return.
Amen.
And the first thing the bride does when she gets that picture, she says, oh, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for Thy love is better than wine. You have a lot of kisses that God gives you, but the first one you ever receive is forgiveness. And that is the most beautiful. You couldn't go one step further without that first kiss. And unless you've ever come to Him, knowing the burden and the weight of your sins and what you have done, appreciate forgiveness. You will always take it for granted, and you'll never appreciate it. You've got to understand through these kinds of things what God did for you so that you could enter in. How strict He is, and what a judge of the earth He is. He sees every move of your heart, whether good or bad. He sees every emotion, whether good or bad. He sees every action, whether good or bad. He sees every purpose of your heart, whether good or bad. He sees every intricate detail of your nature, good or bad. And in the last day, He's going to weigh you on the scale of the blood of Jesus Christ and your availability into that holy place to be cleansed for all time. And from that perspective, to want His kisses. We need forgiveness all the time. We need forgiveness every day because we are human. And we are prone to be to discard God and our attention to Him. And we need that kiss of forgiveness every day. You might remember Judas kissing Jesus. This was meant to say, "Forgive me," but Jesus did not kiss him that day. For there was no true repentance there. The second kiss she was craving was a kiss of revelation. She might know and understand. When you're hearing the word and it shoots through your soul, it's a kiss of revelation. The third kiss is the kiss of affection. Have you ever felt a little low and your child comes over and kisses you and all of a sudden you feel that everything's all right? When the presence of the Lord comes down and surrounds you with His love, He is kissing you. The kiss is a metaphor meant to capture the deepest attention and love that we must have and share with Jesus. Many times in the Word, God uses military language or agricultural language. Here He is using bridal language. Kissing is also meant to express living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. God bless you.